Check WUNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our intelligent conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. And, of course, I had Rob Santoni on. We're talking about raising money for MDA last week. Make sure you are rounding up when you're doing that. Also, our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Bill Cole and I having a great conversation. I think we're going to talk about eating cicadas next week. I think that's going to be on the agenda. This guy and I, we're together. It's football, usually. I do follow Matt on social media. He has some fun with his family and fun with football stuff. But man, you are like draft guy, right, Eric, at home? I mean, we're football people and all that, but this is, you take special pride in this week on the draft side of things. And it's great to have you on. Always good to visit with you. But I know this is busy time for you, right?
It is. Yeah, I am. Well, I'm a draft guy. I don't know if I am the draft guy, but I appreciate the sentiment. Yeah, no, this is my Super Bowl, so to speak. So, you know, I've been kind of gearing up and watching these guys since about probably June of last year. Not all of them, you know, there's been some late arrivals that we got to catch up on and new information along the way, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. I'll sleep very well in about 2 weeks, but right now we're just going on pure draft adrenaline at this point.
You know, I would say for whatever year, and you've been doing this a long, long time, and for whatever year you put the most work in, or there was the most information available, what has it felt like to a media guy, not to Eric DaCosta, where I'm sure it's different,
right,
to some degree in the same, but in covering it in the way, first things first, dude, you and I would run into each other in Indianapolis at the combine and, yeah, you know, get St. Elmo's cocktail sauce, which I have in the fridge. Thank you. But I would just say the tectonic plates are changing, and not just 17 games and, you know, playing games in Europe and all those kinds of things the league's going to do, but this part of the evaluative process over the last 18 months and this draft specifically, where there's just less information than everyone would want.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, for me personally too, I was not able to attend the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. You know, you get 110 players down there, representatives from 32 teams, agents, the whole kit and caboodle there. And I wasn't able to go for the first time in years. And, you know, that took away some of my information gathering process, my, you know, firsthand evaluation stuff that I do. And then the combine being canceled, as you mentioned, it's, you know, it's a free for all there. And then you get to talk to a lot of people as well. And continue building those relationships and make sure you know what's going on around the campfire. So that portion of it has been way different. I've spent the majority of my time on the phone, texting, calling, and, you know, trying to get information that way. So, but for the clubs too, right, the lack of medical information that's sort of clear and defined has been a little bit thorny for some teams. So, you know, it works on both ends. We're trying to do the best we can. We think we've had some great coverage this year, but it has been a different sort of cycle.
Well, Ozzy would always say, we go by what's on the film. We go by what's, and when there's not a lot of film, right?
Right, you know, that too.
It just literally, some of these kids haven't played football in 600 days, right?
Yeah, I mean, that there's no doubt. I mean, when Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech opted out and Micah Parsons opted out very early on, first thing I did was watch them then, because I thought, let me try to get my unvarnished, you know, like my immediate reaction to the football player they are now. If they're not going to play in 2020, you know, there's only so much they can do to get better as football players. You can work out till you're blue in the face and all that, but I wanted to get that immediate impression then, so that, you know, 6 months of draft marination and hot takes becoming scorching hot, I didn't want that to happen. So it's funny, because I didn't even look at some of those evaluations until 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it was interesting seeing what my observations were August, some, you know, back then when a lot of these guys were opting out, versus what some people are saying about these players now. I'm not saying I'm right or they're wrong. I'm just saying that over time, these things can, you know, it's like the game of telephone, right? You start with one message, you end up with something else. And I wonder if there, you know, there isn't going to be that effect on a lot of the prospects who didn't play this year.
Eric at home is joining us here. He will be covering all things prospects, suspects, and more when Roger's having a little cocoa late at night on Thursday night for the draft. Let's go on to the field for a minute, because, I mean, I'll let you tear the draft up, and I'll get to Ravens and all that. But just, you're a real sports fan. You're a baseball guy. You're out in Chicagoland area, and I'm a baseball guy. We've had hockey, basketball, all of this. The NFL and the tectonic plates I talk about, 17 games is the beginning. I would think in baseball, seven innings is the beginning in doubleheaders and all the weirdness that the pandemic's going to bring on. But first things first, I mean, the schedule's not coming till May 12th, 17 games, unbalanced this and that. And then just, you know, the general issues of leagues, fans, getting people in, will people come back? How will they come back? All of these things, in addition to all the regular drama, who's going to be my quarterback this year, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. And we could pick any of those topics and go off for 20 minutes on them. And right, I mean, the whole idea of attending games and our team's going to mandate that you be vaccinated. And do you have to show proof of that? And how do you do so? Do you have to register ahead of time? Is it going to affect the gate? You know, those are big issues. You know, the 17 game season, it's one extra game. And so, you know, in theory, it's one of those things where, well, it shouldn't make that much of a difference, but you know, the injury factor is something to be noted. And it comes into play this year with prospects who are, you know, Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner who weighed 166 pounds. Can he hold up over an extended season and potentially playoffs? I mean, you know, those are just little elements right there, but you're right. There's still plenty of quarterback decisions that need to be made. I mean, this league is very much in flux right now, and it's fun and it's exciting, but it is new and different. We don't know that the results are all going to be positive, I don't think.
For you with the Ravens and the market advantage they may have in this process of drafting because they're good at it, other teams haven't even figured it out. I mean, there's still staffs that haven't been in the room with each other a whole lot over the last year. Relationships, stuff you would be doing after work, going out, drinking, eating, this and that, and family and cooking out. All of these things that make it weird probably make it better from a draft perspective and the rich getting richer in the NFL from a process standpoint.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the whole thing has sort of been turned upside down a little bit. And so every team is obviously going to have a different approach and whatnot. But, you know, you're obviously going to see the well-prepared ones come in and be ready to go. And, you know, last year was sort of a little bit of a, you know, trial run, if you will, because of the pro days being canceled. Now we essentially had the opposite, no combine, everything kind of hinging on the pro days. But, you know, I think by this point, most teams, especially the ones that don't have a slew of first-year scouts or a lot of new faces in there, they can still kind of get their job done without, you know, having that close proximity and find new ways to kind of communicate. So, you know, the prepared ones will be ahead of the game.
For the Ravens, the hubbub here has been about wide receivers, been about interior lineman. The signing of Sammy Watkins turns the heat off the wide receiver and now says, well, we've lost Judon and edge rusher's got to go there. I've talked Jeff Zriebeck from The Athletic joined me earlier this week. We talked about safeties and other position players that may be there in the late 20s. The one thing that I've warned about DaCosta, and I believe this to be true from the things he said at the Liars luncheon this week in regard to, well, you know, we've got enough picks, which means they don't feel like they have roster spots to be picking 10 or 12 guys. And that says to me that if their number 8 or 10 guy on their board is still there at number 20 or 22, they'll be happy to move up and trade back and go back and forth. No one does that better than they do.
Yeah, I think so too. And you're right. I mean, they can target specific areas, whether it's that edge rusher guy, if there's a receiver they absolutely love, even though, as you pointed out, you know, it may not be that super high pressing need. It may just be one of those things where we cannot let this guy not, you know, land in our laps. Or, you know, if there's an offensive line solution to their little puzzle they have right now where, you know, obviously, you know, there's at least some sort of moving pieces there where, you know, Bozeman could shift spots. Orlando Brown's been mentioned in trade rumors, right? How do they figure that puzzle out? But yeah,
which is fascinating, by the way. You and I have been at this. You and I sit and talk since 1996 about the Ravens. And I think I told you I had a Vinnie Testaverde reunion last year, right?
You did. You mentioned, right?
Yep. Tender moment. and, you know, all of these years, dude, I've watched this and I've watched this. This is a place no one wants to come. This is a place no one wants to leave, right? It's 150 yards apart between these parking lots in Baltimore. And I know what it looks like when players don't want to come, don't want to sign, don't want to be part of the free agent process. And also when, you know, every veteran in the league, when they're available, gives the Ravens a sniff, from Calais Campbell all the way back to Rod Woodson and Shannon Sharp, through every Trevor Price and every, all of these guys, right? Every Owen Daniels, every Matt Burke, all of that's how you win, is to become attractive, you know, right. to teams. I can never remember an 8-week saga, and this is maybe social media and all the other things that would go on, where we have talked about a player, a legacy player, who was a turd on Indianapolis weekend. The Ravens give him a chance, give him a job, comes in, plays well, plays really well. And then he says, I'd like to be traded. I'm a left tackle. I've never heard of anyone wanting out of here. It's so peculiar to me that it's been weird to talk about it for 2 months.
Absolutely. I mean, especially since, you know, what kind of won some people over during the evaluation process, as you pointed out, was not his workout times, which were hideous. It was the fact that Orlando Brown was a well-liked kid and that he had a personality, and, you know, and so that was, it was sort of believed that he was this, you know, sort of affable nature or whatever. And so for
the guy
him to
you
be
want on your team is what the scout would say, right?
Absolutely. And so for him to kind of throw these demands out there, you get it. Player empowerment is stronger than it ever has been. And players feel the,
he's watching a little too much NBA, maybe a little bit too much, a little too, you know,
In Baltimore. Right. I know.
They always think they got the leverage. You know, I remember when Emmitt Smith had the leverage. It hadn't happened so much since then. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we thought Deshaun Watson had the leverage this offseason in terms of being able to maybe force the Texans, and then the allegations come. That's a whole different situation. But yeah, I'll be fascinated to see if anything actually happens with that. I mean, I don't know what their immediate plans are. So yeah, you're right though. Back to your trade up question. I mean, you know, we've sort of seen the Ravens let the board come to them in recent years. They've gotten some deals. I'm sure they sweated out the Patrick Queen pick as Seattle was on the board last year, but you know, if you have limited roster spots and you have key targeted areas you want to address, why not slide up 5 or 6 spots and give up that extra pick? I get the concept of adding more picks, but, you know, for a team like the Ravens that feels like it might be close, this is an approach that has stood up to the test of time, I think.
Well, that's all the more reason to think that dealing Orlando Brown would not be some, we're trying to win here. We're not playing for the future. We're playing, it's right here, right now for the Ravens. Yeah. And that urgency as a fan feels good, right? Like I don't go through that locker room anymore because no one goes to the locker room, but I go through the scorecard and I think about how many of these cats were around in New Orleans when I was eating delicious char grilled oysters as a Super Bowl champion, which feels like 5 minutes ago, which was, you know, a long time ago now.
Almost
going
10
on eight
years.
Season,
yeah,
eight
right.
Seasons ago, right?
Yeah.
So you think about how hungry are all these people? Well, Eric DaCosta's never won as a GM, right? John's never won with Lamar, which is the only way he's getting, you know, the Harbaugh bus pointed toward Canton, right? So right. There's all sorts of things for all Wink Martindale and Greg Roman looking for jobs and just all of the things that this organization is into right now. This is some urgent stuff going on right now because they really feel like the Lamar window feels this big right now. We're in year 4, dude, you know, and he's a speed quarterback and they built the whole thing around him. He's never really had an injury, knock on anything, number 8. Right. But it feels to me urgent here in a way that maybe it doesn't in Philadelphia anymore.
Yeah. I mean, those windows can close so fast. And I mean, you know, you look back to the teams that we thought had that urgency for good reason entering the 2020 season, or even go back a year if you want to go pre-pandemic, and all of a sudden, some of those teams are out of the window, right? I mean, the Chicago Bears were making aggressive trades, believing they had a playoff window there. And now their GM and head coach might be on the hot seat, and they've already let their first-round quarterback move on. And, you know, I mean, that's how quick these things can happen. Now, I don't expect Lamar to fall off a cliff, and I don't know that, you know, the Ravens are going to lose every assistant coach or whatever, but I do know that urgency is felt for a reason, and I think they feel like they have good reason to be urgent because – they have a team that should compete with the upper reaches of the conference.
So when Eric Edholm comes on, he's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm the draft guy. You know, I said, like, Yahoo Sports, you are. It says it right on your Twitter, dude. Eric_EDHOLM, NFL draft. The first thing it says.
It is the first thing. That's my new, it's my new identity, right? I just don't want to, I have enough modesty where I'm like, well, look, there are plenty of other people who do a great job on the draft out there. I just want to find my little niche, you know, come to me for what I do well. And then the rest can have their little celebration as well.
Well, I mean, believe me, I love the draft. I've always loved the draft. It's now something the league brings into towns. It turns into a drunk fest and a celebrity. Like, you know, they're going to get back to that, and they'll get back to the business of all of this in regard to the NFL. Take me around the league a little bit and give me a couple of concerns draft-wise, some depth for this draft. Obviously, the quarterbacks coming off the board will be the story on Thursday and how that presents itself. And who does fall to some astute team like the Ravens that would say, that guy's number 8 on our board. We're on pick 21. What's he still doing there? Let's go get him. That's the Ravens game every year. And it really is born out of how the top of the board sort of plays out and falls out.
Yeah, you know, we're going to get 5 quarterbacks in the upper reaches of the draft. I don't know if that's going to be the top 7 picks, top 10, top, you know, 15, whatever it ends up being. 5 will likely go off in the first half of the first round and possibly even higher. The defensive talent at the top of the draft is not considered strong. There's only a handful of prospects I would even remotely consider in the top 10. But as that, you know, as we get pushed down into the late teens and early 20s, you know, you're going to see the offensive line talent really kind of come out a little bit. You're going to see the cornerback talent come out a little bit. The edge rushers, that's when you can start seeing them come off the board. So you're right, there is that trickle-down effect. And I would say we at least have a sliver of a chance that a 6th quarterback goes somewhere late in round 1. If for no other reason than for a team looking to get the 5th-year option. If so, that could be yet another hidden benefit for the Ravens. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're thinking edge rushers for the Ravens, I always say that, you know, they've had a pattern history of going after guys who have proven sack production or disruptive production in the backfield. That has just been one of their mantras, that if they've done it on the college level, it translates. It's not that they won't take guys who have you know, lesser production but great traits. It's just that they tend to lean towards those guys. So that would put me more on Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, who I think could be a great fit in their defense. Jalen Phillips from Miami, if they're comfortable with the medical stuff. He had multiple concussions, was retired at one point, and character stuff as well, some stuff that happened in LA. So, yeah, I would say that, you know, those are two guys that make a lot of sense. And in a normal draft, maybe they go higher. But in the fact where we have 5 quarterbacks going that high in the draft, it's going to naturally have that trickle-down effect.
I am putting all of my friends on warning. May 12th, the schedule comes out. So if you're in Vegas, if you're in Denver, if you're in Detroit, if you're in Miami, or if you're in Chicago.
That's right.
This is the year we play out in the – last time I was there, you had a tornado roll through, and I was under glass up in the upper deck watching poor Bears fans get just mauled in a rainstorm. So yes. It's hard to believe it's been 8 years since the last tornado I was in Chicago. But at least I'm going to get some decent pizza. I'm going to Pequod's. We're going to have a big old Pequod's party, because that's my thing in Chicago, that caramelized deliciousness.
Yes.
But I'm doing a crab cake tour this summer. And next time we get together after the draft, we'll review the draft, get the Ravens A-plus scorecard, and we'll talk about rock and roll, because I want to talk music with you. But I want to talk food, because you're a traveling food guy. You and I had some food together. Crab cakes here in Maryland. I'm about to start a tour. We're going to start at Fadley's. We're going to Costas. And then I'm just literally going to eat a crab cake for the rest of my life someplace different. I'm going to continue to try different crab cakes. We're going to write about them, talk about them, talk about the people that make them, have conversations over them with red people, blue people, Democrats, Republicans, purple people, orange people, all that, right?
Love it.
So for you, you've been to Maryland. You have a crab cake place that you go when you land here.
You know, so I've been to Baltimore, I think 4 times, right? Twice for the Ed Block Courage Awards. Once was for a bachelor party with a buddy, one of my best friends, who we wanted to go to a Red Sox Orioles series at Camden. And then what the heck was the 4th time? I don't know. I mean, I think I can count on one hand the number of times I've been to Baltimore. Loved it all. You had a great time.
We got to get you in here then. I mean, I
know.
That's a problem when you're like a Bears guy and we don't play. You know what's really weird is my wife and I were talking about the road trips, right? Because she's been 18 years, right? We've been everywhere, done everything, right? You've met my wife. So this year, the Rams are our extra game. And I'm like, Well, that's good news if we get to play in LA. No, we don't get to. So we've had now a trip to Carson to play the Chargers before they came and beat us. Yep. That was Christmas week. That was really cool. An old soccer rink there, right?
I like
and
that
And then
place.
We had the really famous game where Lamar's still running toward the Pacific Ocean. I think he's somewhere on Sunset Boulevard right now. And there's, you know, still running those purple jerseys, beating the Rams up at the Coliseum, right? So I was blessed to be one of the most memorable nights of my Ravendom, really, to be there because it was so bizarre and one time it'll never happen again, like Vanderbilt back in 97. So, you know, for me, all this, my wife said, oh, we're going to do the Raiders of Vegas. That's great. Whatever. And I said, you do realize we're in the AFC. They have now eliminated San Francisco and San Diego as places we'll ever go back to again.
Right.
So we've now traded LA and Vegas for the next 15, 20 years, but AFC, right? But NFC, we don't play in Detroit. We don't play in Green, but we don't ever get to play those games. I don't know about that one off. I guess we'll get a trade here and again, but we don't play in Chicago enough for you and I to like hang, you know?
Right. Oh, I know. We got to figure out, well, you know, just figure out what the equidistant, you know, what the middle point is. We can do a game there.
I'm not meeting you in Ohio. I do. I go to Ohio twice a year. You can have Ohio, you know.
All right. Maybe we'll do something. Maybe I'll do a Ravens Washington football team weekend. One plays on a Thursday, the other on a Sunday or something like that. Sunday,
you're
Monday.
Thinking. Go see Jack down there and you can see how the other half lives without a logo and a name on their team.
Hey, you know what? I'm like you. I love sort of going to these stadiums, and while I go, I make sure to check them out. But yeah, to answer your crab cake question, I went to two different places and I honestly cannot remember either one. And that's not usually like me. I can usually remember like the names.
Well,
but
it probably wasn't Fadley's or Costas because you would have remembered it if you were with me. So we're 8 years away from getting the Bears in here, but we'll get you in here for something. Eric at Home, you can follow him at Yahoo. He's covering all things draft and the aftermath and the night of and the morning after. And I'm sure Eric DaCosta will get good grades because he rarely does anything really foolish, right?
Very rarely. I loved his draft last year. I usually love it. I mean, I get the philosophy of what they're doing, even if we know the picks won't all work out. So
yeah, well, you're the guy that loved Rashad Perryman and Mark Clayton and Travis Taylor and all the crap that the fans hear still talk about 20 years later.
I did?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I just evaluate these things once the season begins. From here until then, we can't lose. How can you go wrong, right?
Exactly.
That's Eric, take care of yourself. Right. It's always great to visit with you, man. I hope it's over some really good pizza and a cold beer sometime in the fall. We'll wait for that date, bud.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
And we will toast the great Chester Kopic, who will not be joining us. We lost Chet since the last time. It was 8 years ago. Chet came out drinking with us on Rush last time.
No kidding.
Jeez. You don't know anything like till you've been out drinking with Chet Kopic in Chicago. Wow. You know, I mean,
I've heard the stories, believe me. Yes.
Oh, man. Well, it was a little, you know, he was a little late in the game at that point, so he was holding me up. Eric at Home joining us out in the beautiful Midwest where it still snows sometimes in April and they still play lousy baseball once in a while. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.